It's Monday, July the 7th, and you're listening to the Three Nerds in a Basement podcast. I'm Vince.
I'm Blavin.
I'm Anthony.
And this is the Geek Chic Culture Show, where we talk about all the cool things in the world. On this week's episode, we are reviewing the most hyped anime to come in 2014, Sailor Moon Crystal.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, regular stuff to resume afterwards. A little bit of a late announcement, but we just want to wish everybody a happy Canada Day and happy Independence Day for those south of the border.
Hope both similarly celebrated with fireworks.
Yes, I hope you all had a fun and safe time.
Mm-hmm.
And that you're well rested for the week ahead. Speaking of weeks, how's your week been, Blavin?
Tiring.
That sounds excellent. Anthony, have you also been experiencing the same thing?
No, it's been average.
Average?
It's been good.
Okay, well that's good to hear from both of you. Let's get into the review then. So Sailor Moon Crystal, this anime was originally supposed to be launched last summer, or last fall.
Really?
Yeah, That was the original planned release date in celebration of the 20th anniversary of Sailor Moon. Because I believe the original Sailor Moon anime launched 1993.
Interesting.
I'll take your word on it.
Trust me, I know this stuff. And it's a reboot of the series that's supposed to be a lot closer to the original manga, including character designs and story arc. Of course, there's only one episode out, so...
Who knows?
Who knows if that's going to be true. But it is essentially Sailor Moon. There's nothing different about it, but if you don't know who Sailor Moon is, well, I don't know where you've been the past 20 years.
Maybe they're millennials.
They would have still seen Dirty, Sailor Moon in some sort, because millennials still know who Dragon Ball or what Dragon Ball is.
Yeah, true.
So you got to know what Sailor Moon is. Blavin, what you think about Sailor Moon Crystal? And actually, I got to know: are you a Sailor Moon fan to begin with?
No. I dislike it. It's just I never really watched all of it from beginning to end. Uh-huh. I've seen a few of the movies, but that's about it. This retelling of Sailor Moon was interesting because it's drawn much more like a shoujo manga or a girl manga.
Mm-hmm.
The character designs, the wide eyes, the bright small lips, mouth, the flowers, the sparkles.
It's definitely a modern
anime. It's definitely modern anime. The story, I mean, it's your classic old-school story.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell that the themes represented in this show are quite dated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You agree.
Dated, or is it targeted at a very young audience?
I think it's dated. I mean, even the stuff that's targeted at the younger artists now is radically different from what you see on animes currently.
Okay.
And as in, the plots and whatnot was from a simpler time, is what I'm saying.
Yes.
It's not as convoluted or... It's very simple. This girl has a power to save something. I know that other mangas do this... other animes have the same theme and whatnot. Somebody gets a power or whatever. But it's usually much more complicated than that.
Yep.
This one is just... It's a girl. She has pretty powers. And yes, she battles evil.
Well, yeah.
And, it's good to see the recurring cast come back. I mean, it's nice to revisit the old Sailor Scouts, and especially Tuxedo Mask. It's interesting to see the difference between the manga and the original anime run.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's interesting to see more of what's different and whatnot, but I don't really have a comparison because, I mean, episode to episode, I didn't really watch each one episode to episode.
Right.
But the stark differences from how they're drawn and whatnot, I can tell.
Yes.
They used more CG this time, especially during her transformation sequence. Mm-hmm. And from what I've been reading on my Facebook feed, people are kind of split. Some people like it, some people don't.
Wait, the CG?
Just the transformation part.
Yeah, for the transformation.
The transformation part.
Okay.
Some people like it, some people don't. But overall, I think it was pretty fun. And if you haven't ever watched Sailor Moon, this is... And if you can't stand old animation, then this will be right up your alley.
Yeah.
It's updated, it's modern. It's hip. It's cool.
It's hip.
Yeah.
It's cool.
All the cool kids are watching it.
Dude, you make it sound like such senior citizens.
I know, but I'm saying that's what it is. Aren't we not?
I guess so.
Yeah. So it's good. It's good. I like it.
Anthony, I know you're a fan of Sailor Moon.
I'm a fan of Sailor Moon.
Did you like Crystal?
I did. That's Sailor Moon, man. Like, just, there is no different except that she is not She does not have toast in her mouth when she's running late for school saying, Chikoku, Chikoku, ah!
This is the Sailor Moon for the modern age.
Yeah, no toast. There is no time for toast in the modern age. But, like, yeah, it was just, it was straight Sailor Moon. The first episode was pretty much exactly as I remember it. Like, her getting the bad test scores, the Molly's mom being taken over, using jewelry to take everybody's power and keep it in, like, something that they never really explain. There are, like, little differences. Like, I felt like the original animation was kind of more violent. In, like, when she uses the tiara on the villain in this one, she kind of turns to stone and then crumbles.
Go ahead.
But in the older ones, she just, like, gets straight cut in half.
Well, I think that's sort of where the world has gone with restraint on violence for younger audiences now.
Yeah. And, like, I've also been, like, I haven't got all the volumes yet, but I've also been reading the manga of Sailor Moon. And, like, you can still see some of that old stuff in there, like, if you're missing that. But, Sailor Moon, man, like, if you've watched it before, it's a known quantity. Like, yes. If you've seen the original, or if you've read the re-released books, it is a known quantity. Like, this will not, nothing here will be a surprise to you.
Yes.
Maybe other than 3D transformations. But Sailor Moon's kind of a test, tried and true story. Like, it's maintained its popularity over the years.
She is sort of the benchmark.
Yeah.
For magical girls.
Yeah, for magical girls. Like, I think, I would say she's, like, the epitome of magical girls.
Well, she is the birth of the genre.
Yeah.
So.
And, like, Blavin said, like, with the concepts and stuff being dated, and, like, it's kind of like, these, they made these tropes and stuff. Like, Sailor Moon was the beginning, or near the, at least the beginning of that kind of stuff. And yeah, it's good, but it's just Sailor Moon. Like, there's nothing shocking to me about this.
Do you like the 3D transformations?
Yeah, they look cool. They've used actually those 3D models in the recent JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. In the opening, they have a lot of 3D models like that, and it kind of looks the same, like the really overly smooth shading and stuff like that. So I think those look nice.
Okay.
And it allows for cool, like the 3D rotations and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. No, I agree with both of you. It's Sailor Moon. There's not much else to say. It's freaking, yeah, I mean, it's Sailor Moon.
Yeah, it's...
Like, I loved Sailor Moon as a kid. It was probably my first experience with anime.
Yeah, same for me.
It's weird. I also had liked magical girl stuff, but it wasn't this show.
I know who it is.
It's Wedding Peach.
What? Yeah. What? What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it was the other one.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was another one that, like, a lot of people probably don't hear about, but it's called Wedding Peach. That's the one I watched, not this one. Oh,
interesting.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say Tokyo Mew Mew.
Oh, I thought he was going to say Cardcaptor Sakura.
No, I've never even seen those. Never even heard of those. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know why I picked that one over this one. I guess it's because when I was in Taiwan, Sailor Moon already finished its run on time.
Oh, because they aired simultaneously, yeah.
Probably, like, way faster than here, right? Because they're, like, right across the sea.
Yeah.
And so, I got the new wave after.
Yeah. Right. That actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Because
you're already in Asia.
Yeah, yeah, so.
Whereas here in North America.
Like, you guys got a little later.
Yeah, because we had to wait for the dub, and then.
And then we got to a big arc, and then they're like, we ran out of dub, so we're going to reset it. It's not enough dub.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need a new Serena voice actress.
Oh, no.
We got to make sure these two people are cousins and not lesbian lovers.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I really like Sailor Moon a lot. You guys know I collect the new Sailor Moon figures.
They are nice.
Are those based off this?
No, they're based off of the original.
Okay.
Although I've no doubt in my mind they're going to make ones based off of this too.
Re-release with a special face.
Probably. Who knows?
We do know. They will re-release it for any occasion.
Of course, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's very close to what I remember it being. It's fun. It is very simple in what it's trying to do. I don't think the first episode is very indicative of what the series is going to be like. They have called for it to be 26 episodes. And the one thing I do hope is that they don't stick with the original series and just make it Monster of the Week. I hope they condense almost everything into this 26-episode run.
Like, beginning to end?
Maybe not all the way at the end.
Because, like, it gets crazy near the end.
But maybe two seasons?
Okay.
Like, get all the scouts introduced.
Yeah.
I mean, because the way this one is planning to go, if it's going to follow the manga, then the first five episodes will have the cast, right?
Mm-hmm.
And after that, you can only do so many Monster of the Week stuff before it's just ending.
Before it turns into...
Yeah.
To Power Rangers.
Yeah, so, and the way that current anime runs, it's usually split up into two halves of their season, right? So, like, episode four... Like, I have no doubt in my mind that by episode, like, 14, 15, that's the Queen Barrel fight.
That'd be cool.
Right, and then we go
that's,
on.
That's about manga pace, yeah.
Right? Like, I have, like...
Wasn't she the big bad?
From the original, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think she was, like...
Oh, but in the manga, there's more?
I haven't got to the end, but, like, I think they're, like, getting ready... Where I am, they're getting ready to fight Queen Barrel already.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so weird. I think there's stuff after that.
There's a... Yeah, because it goes up to, like, Like, remember in the Wait, after Barrel, there is more stuff in the manga, I believe.
Okay.
Oh, interesting.
But, yeah, no, I just hope they just blaze through it. Yeah.
Also, Queen Barrel's knights die off like nothing.
They do. They go, like, they are not this reoccurring force. They come in, like, one time.
Yeah, they're tired of sending in their putty patrol. Yeah. And then they're like, I'm going to do this. And then they die.
So I hope that is happens. I like the 3D animations. Not necessarily the 3D itself, but the one thing I always had a problem with the original Sailor Moon transformations was that because it was 2D and drawn... The movements they make aren't as smooth, and that's just a product of animation, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's only so many frames. With the 3D, the way they move looks a lot more graceful and fluid.
It allows for those cool, like, camera pans and
yeah,
stuff, too.
Yeah, and it... Yeah, like, a lot of the dynamic angles. It is not as cool as the Vivid Red Operation Iron Man transformation scenes. But for Sailor Moon...
Those ones are crazy.
It's pretty darn good. And the only other thing is... Throughout the show or the episode, they look like Sailor Serena or Usagi is drawn, like as you would remember. Mm. But when she puts on the suit, she gets very very thin proportions.
And she gets very shoujo.
Yeah, she becomes
she becomes twigs with a head.
Yeah, how do you guys feel about that character design?
I didn't even notice, but I noticed her face changed.
Yeah,
she looks a lot womanier.
Uh huh.
Like they kicked on a lipstick a lot.
Yeah, and in the intro, like, when they do, like, the pose with the five of them across, you can tell they're slightly different.
Yeah. Mm.
Or when she does her, what do you call it, her pose at the end of her transformation, you can tell she's got, like, a bit more, like, she's not as stiff, she's a bit, yeah, flared out and a bit more quote-unquote girly.
Mm-hmm.
How do you guys feel about that?
I guess it's just what happens when she's wearing... her regular clothes, you don't really see her arms or whatever.
That's true. That's very true.
And then now that you see everything, you're like, oh man, that's what's underneath.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
You're just a twig.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
But yeah, like, or...
You're yeah, gonna, no, go on.
Oh, like, because, like, if the thing is being more girly, like, it's a magical girl.
And I know.
Directed at women.
I just want to know, like, how do you like it more or less than the original... Or are you indifferent?
I think I'd have to see, like, the transformations side by side. Because I don't remember what her character model looked like.
Oh.
Like, just exactly. Because, like, for this, I'm like, wow, she looks thin. Like, she has no... She's just bones, right?
Yeah.
It's just bones tightly wrapped around the skin on it. But, like, I guess I have to see the original.
Well, if you were to say, I would probably just say I'm indifferent.
Yeah.
Sailor Moon, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She
just looks... I mean... They left enough of her defining features that you could tell who she was.
Even oh, of course, in the silhouette, of so. Course, of course. It's just, I mean, I make it sound like it's this dramatic thing, but it's just slight changes.
Yeah.
Why
are people up in arms about it or what?
Yeah, a lot of people don't like the whole clampish anorexic design.
Isn't that what it started as though? Like shoujo mangas, they all are very thin.
Well, Sailor Moon didn't start like that.
Really?
Yeah, she's pretty.
I don't know. She looks pretty thin in these pictures.
Yeah, I mean, I saw Anthony's manga.
Yeah, but she's not like, in this new series, she's got wild proportions. Like they're not like her legs aren't straight. Like she's got like a inward bend to her shins and stuff.
Yeah, that's where I can see like the clamp style coming.
And like they're just slightly thinner than what you remember.
This isn't clamp though, right?
No, mm-hmm. No.
Okay,
it's Toei.
Right.
She's got very long limbs and not much of a torso.
Yeah, and like they're and yeah, you like you guys said before, like her face is a lot softer. It's a lot more modern
mm-hmm.
Shoujo. So, I will say I probably actually like the newer designs versus the older designs, as like sacrilegious as that may sound.
But I need to start my email hate now.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, it's cool. All right, so Sailor Moon Episode 1, what do you guys think? Is it a... Yo, whatever. I don't care. You guys don't have to say anything.
Yeah, I mean, we're all going to like it. We're all going to recommend it to you.
Yeah, I'm going to tell people, yo, watch this. It's nostalgia, stuff, man. This is a global event.
Yeah, but I guess if they didn't grow up with it, it's not really hard-hitting.
I think what I want to know is, how are they going to do the whole... Because Sailor Moon was a product of the 90s, and since then, the world has moved on. Like, Sailor Moon doesn't have a cell phone. She doesn't have, like, a computer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I guess Amy had the...
Yeah, but, like... Back then, we viewed that as some, like, high-tech stuff, right? Like, what are kids nowadays gonna, like, is she gonna bring out a computer, or is she just gonna straight up have an iPad?
Have they said what time period this takes place in?
Or... No, they haven't, but, I mean, I think they're trying to make it some timeless era, but I think it'll be interesting when they have to get to those things.
Well, it's just, think about it as the new Edo period.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks, you know, thanks, man.
Some technology came back, some didn't.
Awesome. Okay. Cool. So I watch Sailor Moon.
Even the Edo period has robots now, so who cares, right?
Oh, that's true. That's true. They did have robots. Who knew?
Speaking of robots, did you know that the thing you talked about last week, Knights of Cydonia, is on Netflix now?
Is it really?
Yeah, oh, so apparently it's a Netflix original, so what's the deal with this? Is it just because they're the first ones to get the rights to it? Or
I guess they beat up Crunchyroll?
Yeah, so apparently, yes. Yeah, it's on there. It's 12 I don't know if you guys saw it, but I saw it and I thought it was interesting that it was on there.
Yeah, no, I actually read that and I totally forgot because I had already downloaded all of it.
Oh, there's
do you know
of the
if,
week.
It's, if it's...
I was like, shit, good for me.
Do you know if it's subbed or if it's just dubbed?
I didn't watch it.
Okay. It's subbed.
All right.
It's subbed.
Is it?
Yeah, because it just finished airing in Japan like 2 weeks ago.
So it has to be, hey.
Yeah, there's no way they have licensing right for dubbing it.
Okay.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Don't tell me it's dubbed.
I could have sworn there was an option.
Oh, that's so sick.
What if it's like closed caption and it's like that robot voice that reads it?
Oh, I love it.
Stephen Hawking is talking at me.
I think Johnny Young Bosch is supposed to be voicing someone.
Oh, of course! Of course! Wow. Well, the good thing about Netflix is they give you the option.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I chose not to dub it.
Oh, so you've been watching it?
I watched like the first 5 minutes. Because I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
I'll probably choose to dub it.
Yeah.
Dubbing's so sick.
That's what I did for Initial D. I was like, Initial D is just going to be, I'm in this race. Oh no, I almost lost this race. Wait, I won this race. So I don't really need to pay attention. I'm just going to dub. Do stuff.
Okay, let's move on to our picks of the week. Picks of the week time. What? I'm going to start this one off and say that 6 seasons and a movie is a reality.
Well, the sixth season is a reality? But
it's the movie so the reality? Sixth season of Community, yeah, I'm talking about Community. It was recently dropped by NBC, so they canceled it. And then they tried to get it picked up by Hulu. Hulu said no. And it looks like it's coming back on Yahoo Screen. I don't know what Yahoo Screen is.
What?
But guess what? No one watched Community on NBC anyways. So who cares where it's on? We're all going to pirate this thing. Don't even lie to me. You're all going to pirate this anyway. So Community Season 6 is happening. They're coming to Comic-Con to celebrate. But beyond that, Sony are in the early planning stages of a Community movie. So...
Oh, cool.
We might actually... get that dream fulfilled.
What happens if they get a 7th season?
No. No. I think they're on their last legs here just to get this season on, so.
Jesus.
There's no way there's only a 7th.
That's crazy. I can't believe Yahoo Screen.
I can't believe the lengths Sony is going to keep this friggin' thing alive.
Yo, hashtag 6 seasons in a movie.
If only someone were that determined with Firefly back in the day.
Yeah, man.
That was Fox.
Man. Yeah.
Can't do anything about that.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, man.
Unless they put, like, Bill O'Reilly in it.
Yeah. But, I mean... Oh. So, Community fans, rejoice. We're gonna have that epic round off to the series.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, hey.
Uh-huh.
Sony's just like, do we have a screen? Sure, why not? They take the yes box? All right.
Just sending applications to everybody. Who's gonna send one back? Yo, who the hell's Yahoo Screen? I don't care. Yahoo. Who cares? They just signed the yes box and sent the check.
We're in.
Yeah. But from what I read, Yahoo Screen has a very niche and dedicated following. So in many ways, that's like a match made in heaven.
Is this like a Yahoo Netflix?
I think it's like in-browser video player.
Oh, yeah. Yo, VLC. No match for this.
Do I need quick time for this?
You might need to install Silverlight.
Okay.
Oh, I need that for Netflix anyway.
So, yeah.
That's funny. Flash player.
I just hope that if they do make the movie, that somehow, they bring back Pierce and Troy.
Yeah, they're gone.
I know Troy is on... Well, Troy canonically is just traveling the world.
Yeah.
Pierce is dead. How they're gonna... Like, there's just no way they can make a movie without him.
Yeah.
So I hope that... But that makes me happy. In other TV news, my favorite show of the past couple of years has been Arrow. And they have started to announce a couple of things leading up to season 3. First of all, Stephen Amell has confirmed he will not be appearing in Batman v Superman.
Who?
The
Arrow guy?
The Arrow. He has confirmed. He's like, no, I am not going to appear in that, and neither will The Flash.
Oh, wow.
Just FYI, guys.
However, we are the definitive DC characters of the Hollywood universe.
Oh, I see.
Which means that I guess they are, like, in the same universe, but they're just not making an appearance.
Oh, okay.
I see, okay. Makes sense.
I believe that's what I got from it. I mean...
That would make sense.
Yeah. I got this information from... Stephen Amell did a Q&A on Facebook.
Oh, radio.
As I was reading that. I think that's the... Because he was up to that point, he was giving cryptic hints about some big collaboration. And everyone thought it was Batman v Superman, but it's more of a Arrow and Flash thing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I thought it was more a Green Arrow, Green Lantern thing, but I guess so.
Yeah, that is weird.
Because they do have that friendship, and even in the thing.
We're both green, yeah.
Well, I think they've relegated Green Arrow to the TV and Lantern to the movies.
Oh, yeah. Ryan Reynolds. Get him.
Of course. Now, the other Arrow news is, you guys remember Devon Aoki?
Is he like...
No, DJ? Her.
Her. It's a her.
Oh,
it's
oh a she her. Was Kasumi.
Oh, she yes, was,
she's consuming the Dead or Alive movie.
God.
Yep.
She was also that Asian chick in Too Fast, Too Furious.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. She's like,
Devon Aoki. Just star roles. Star roles.
What has happened to Devon Aoki?
Is she like Lady Shiva or something?
No. Well, I don't know where she's been the past couple years, but she's coming to Arrow as Katana.
Oh, really?
Everyone's kind of like, okay.
You mean the girl who dresses like the flag? Or no. The old school flag, like the kamikaze flag with like the red and the...
She's at the... In the new comic, she's at the mask with the
rising
sun on
it. Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. Oh my god, really?
Yeah.
I guess, apparently Katana's really popular right now.
Oh, talk about typecast, too. Huh?
Right, like, what the...
Yeah, in the comic, she kind of looks like a robo samurai.
Yeah.
I didn't think that she... Oh, okay, I guess...
Yeah.
Okay, so she was Kasumi. And then she was the Asian girl with all the high-tech shit in her car. Uh-huh. And then now she's whatever. Now she's Katana.
Yeah, all right.
Wow. So, fill in that role.
I can dig it.
So, yeah. I don't know how I feel about that. I never liked Devon Aoki to begin with, but hey, she's joining the Arrow cast.
She's not a good actress.
Well, let me tell you, that was the minor reveal of the week, because the bigger reveal...
that was pretty awesome.
The bigger reveal is Brandon Routh is coming to Arrow.
That's Superman?
He's not coming as Superman. Henry Cavill's the DC Superman.
Who's Brandon Routh?
The other Superman.
The other Superman.
There's more than one Superman?
The guy who played Superman?
In the one that Superman Returns or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, the one with the piano? In the Super Kid?
Yeah. Him. Or in Scott Pilgrim, the vegan.
He was the vegan!
He was number 3.
Yeah, number 3.
Superpowers.
At first you were a vegan, but now you will be gone.
Anyway, so what's his role?
Do you want to take a guess?
Man, after Katana, I don't even know what could be anybody.
Okay, I'll say this. Arrow is known as the DC show that really strays away from superpowers. All their heroes and villains are very realistic and
King Shark.
And quite...
grounded in reality.
Yes.
Understood.
Okay. So with that in mind, what kind of hero or villain do you think Brandon Routh could play?
King Shark.
I don't know.
No.
Damn.
He's playing the Atom.
Yeah, yeah, what? Oh, really?
The Atom, if you don't know, he's the DC equivalent to Ant-Man.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Alright.
Yeah.
Oh.
Which goes against everything I just
said. So he's Ray Palmer.
Yes, he's Ray. Or is it Ray or Roy?
Ray Palmer.
Ray, yeah, Ray.
Yeah. What the hell?
Yeah. So, yeah, that threw me for a loop.
Yeah, like, what the...
Apparently his little bio is he's targeting Queen Consolidated's Applied Sciences Division.
Right.
And that's probably how he's going to get his powers.
What the hell?
To shrink and grow.
Well, he has the same thing as Ant-Man, right?
Yes.
He can just... He hits you like he's a full-grown man, even though he's
super small. Even though he's an ant, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is super convenient.
Which is, I guess, it's pretty awesome. Uh-huh. He can also step in your brain and stuff, you know, kill you mm-hmm. that way.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that's the Arrow news. Some interesting stuff.
So is he the first, like, supernatural type guy?
Technically, no, because the Flash is.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Flash...
Sorry, I would say, I guess, metahuman. So he's one of two metahumans, I guess. But I guess Flash is going to have more of the metahumans, I guess, right?
Yeah, I'll talk about that, in the second half of the show, but yeah.
Okay.
You're right. You're on the right track.
Yeah. All right, sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Okay, Anthony, your pick of the week?
My pick of the week is a Kickstarter. This guy was for, I don't know why he did this, but he made a Kickstarter to make a potato salad.
Mm.
And his goal is $10. He has 25 days to go, and he has rewards like, if you pledge $3, you will get a bite of said potato salad. You will get a picture of me making the potato salad, and then I will say your name while making the potato salad when we live stream this potato salad.
Wow.
And it goes all the way up to like $50. You can be part of a pizza party, and then we'll also eat potato salad. So the thing is, though, is that there's 25 days left, and the pledge was $10. He is currently sitting at $17,000. Making this the most successful Kickstarter in history. Just pure percentage.
Yeah, I was going to say, you were going to say, yeah, percentage. That makes sense.
I just had to bring this up. Just check, it's just called Potato Salad. And the guy's name is Zach Danger Brown. And he lives in Columbus, Ohio.
The crazy thing is, Kickstarters like this happen almost hourly. And I can't believe this one caught on.
Bunch of just jokey news stories, like kind of like a fluff piece type of thing on different internet sites. But yeah, just $17,000, over 2,000 backers. Currently, there's one pledge where is it? The $5 pledge. No, wait, green potato salad, to a bite. Oh, here it is. $5 pledge, 241 backers. You may choose a potato salad appropriate ingredient and add it to the potato salad.
Oh.
But there's 240 people adding an ingredient.
Oh.
So I don't know.
Think about all those people who wanted a bite of the potato salad.
Yeah, true.
So I think he's going to make a big salad.
For $17,000, I hope so.
Yeah, he's making a $17,000 potato salad.
So how is he going to get these people to get a bite? Are they going to come down to see
you? So apparently, if you live in the area or you can make it down, he's invited you to his home.
Why didn't he use, a park or something?
I don't know. So, that's what the last one says. He's like, there's too many people, so my kitchen's too small. So if people actually do show up, I've made reservations for, renting a hall. So he's going to make the potato salad there if it gets too out of control. But yeah, at the beginning, he's just like, yeah, if you're in the area, you can just come to my house and we'll have potato salad. So yeah, support this, obviously, because it's solving world hunger, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is
$17,186.
It's hilarious.
That is crazy.
People can't donate to real causes. Freaking this dude is going to make potato salad.
They're like, whoa, potato salad? I love potato salad.
Mean, I'm not trying to... whatever. I would do the same dumb thing. I'm totally hypocritical, so whatever.
I would, like, to be honest, I would just take the money. I'd be like, yo, check it out, I made this $5 potato salad. See you later.
So crazy.
I can't, yeah, that's...
I can't handle this.
That's my pick of the week.
Jeez. Blame me, do you have anything else to add?
No, Knights of the Arena was it. I just remembered now, so
that was it. Okay. There was another Kickstarter I heard of that's interesting.
He's making a pizza?
No, this one's actually really serious. No, it's not serious at all. It's a revival of a classic 80s anime.
Terror Pizza Cats?
G-Gundam?
No, they're trying to revive Robotech.
Oh.
No, is it dead?
Maybe get a remake?
Well, the Robotech...
Oh, Robotech.
Robotech has been dead.
Oh, but Macross is not.
But Macross has been going strong.
Robotech missiles have lived strong through Macross.
So for context, Macross was the original anime in Japan. When it came over to America, they sold the rights to a place called Harmony Gold, who owns the rights to Robotech.
Sounds like a porn company.
Well, Harmony Gold is actually a real estate. And they have had nothing to do with anime or animation.
They're just sitting on this?
They just hold this license.
Oh, man.
What a bunch of dicks.
Lols.
And they hold it, and they can't, and because they hold it, that's why Bandai can't bring any Macross over to America.
Wow!
It's kind of hot.
And Macross fans fucking hate this. Hasbro even hates it because, I think I've explained this before, but some of Hasbro's original Transformer toys were actually Macross toys. But they can't use them anymore because this real estate company owns the rights to them.
Oh, yeah.
That's hilarious.
And so every time Hasbro tries to make something similar, Harmony Gold sues them. And they always lose because
it's true.
Harmony Gold hasn't done anything with the license, even though they hold it.
Yeah.
It still means Bandai can't bring over Macross stuff. Now, the reason I want to call attention to this Kickstarter is a lot of fans are just giving money because they like Robotech.
Yeah.
The thing is, the more money this Kickstarter gets, the less chance that Bandai will be able to bring over any rights to Macross here in America or
Europe. Oh, because they're directly helping.
Because they're directly funding the supervillain that is Harmony Gold.
Wait, so Harmony Gold is running the Kickstarter?
No. But the guys who started the Kickstarter have agreed with Harmony Gold to
trade.
Yes.
Okay.
So.
Huh.
And the thing is, like, big outlets, like, I've seen IGN, I've seen Kotaku, they've all posted, like, support this Kickstarter, and it's just like, no, do not. Because you are ruining, I guess, any chance of the original series having any sort of impact here anymore in North America.
Mm.
Because if this does kick off, then you can pretty much write off Macross entirely here in this side of the world. Mm. And that's really it. It was just one of those weird things. It's like no one seemed to bring it up that, like, oh yeah, there's this evil company that almost everybody hates, like every Macross fan hates, because, like, the thing is, if Harmony Gold just said, okay, whatever, Bandai can bring over Macross, like, no one would care. We just want to have, like, English releases of our favorite anime, but we can't have that, right? Yeah. Because this company just says no. So
And I've heard, like, that's a lot of the problems in America when, like, they try to bring over crossover stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that too many different people hold different patents.
The licenses, yeah.
And they can't, or different licenses, and they can't afford to pay everybody because they all want a huge chunk.
Yeah. That's why the Super Robot Wars games will never make it here.
Yeah.
So.
Or the Jump Ultimate Stars games.
That's true. Yeah, that's right. That game won't ever make it here. But yeah, that's it. So just PSA. Don't support that Robotech Kickstarter.
Don't believe what IGN says to you.
Nope. Go for the salad. Go for the salad.
Go for the salad, yeah. Support the salad.
Salad, not Robotech. Alright, let's move on with the rest of this show.
Hello, listeners. Did you know you can email us at 3nerdsinabasement? Well, you can. Just send us an email at tniab.letters@gmail.com. And we will read your message on the air.
Okay, Blavin, Yeah. What has your week been like?
So, I finished Gundam Unicron.
Oh my goodness! You finished it in 1 week!
Oh my god.
You must have loved it.
Oh, so I have 2 ratings for this. And okay. I'll tell you the ratings now so that it makes it easier for me to talk about it.
Yes, tell me.
So, if you are a not Universal Century Gundam fan, this is a 2 out of 5.
Oh!
If you are a Universal Century Gundam fan, yes, meaning you've watched Gundam 0079.
Yes.
Gundam Zeta. Uh-huh. Gundam Double Zeta. Mm. Those are basically the only required viewings.
Yeah.
This is a 5 out of 5.
You gotta include Char's Counterattack.
Oh, yeah, Char's Counterattack. Sorry, that's the movie as well. Yeah. That's 5 out of 5.
Okay.
So, the other stuff, the other side stories in between, sure, whatever, you can watch them, have fun.
Oh, that's true,
yeah. They don't really talk about them in the thing, like, or whatnot, yeah. So, we'll start with the 2 out of 5 rating. If I was just a casual person walking into all 6 of these epics.
All 7 of these epics.
Coming out of each one, one after the other, would be a big WTF.
Mm-hmm.
They just go, hey man, do you remember these guys? Who are they again? I'm not telling you. You remember them though? Good, because we're going to be talking about them for the next half hour. And it's like, whoa. Yeah, mind screwed me, man. I don't even know what's going on. Basically, what can I call it? Meta show, like, I don't know, what is it? It's super show.
Sure.
This OVA,
yes,
oh yeah, requires you to have lots of prior knowledge about the Universal Century timeline to get a lot out of it.
Yes,
and it's not even the good guys you need to know about.
No,
you need to know all about the bad guys.
You gotta know all about the Zeon.
Yeah, you have to know all about the Zeon Federation. Who cares?
Yeah, yeah. The Federation are all but gone now.
No, they're still there, but they don't talk about them because the cast of this one is mainly from the Zeon perspective.
Uh-huh.
Which is weird because the Gundam pilot is part of the Federation.
Yes.
Well, not really, he's... It's... Okay, again...
His roots tie in the Federation.
Also, again, this is classic Gundam where there's so much politics.
Yes!
And all they do is talk politics.
Yes!
And once in a while, they'll get angry at each other. Just because they don't like each other. Because but most of it is because of politics.
They have differing opinions.
Huh.
Or, you know, you don't like me, I like you. Why you gotta be like that? I'm gonna shoot you down.
Let's fight.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah! The dude! What's his face?
Riddy.
Riddy, yeah, he's my favorite.
That is the only thing he does,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm pretty sure that's what I got, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're... Because you've watched this too.
Yeah.
I thought that was his only thing, and I rewatched part of it, and that is his only line. I like you, you don't like me. I will now kill you and whoever you like.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Okay, so we're good.
Well, the writing and dialogue's a bit nicer than that, but...
But when you boil it down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, it has the classic politics. Both sides are right. They're just trying to come to... It's also all a misunderstanding.
Mm-hmm.
So the story this time around is that the Federation got word of something called Laplace's box. And
The box.
The box. And Laplace's box apparently will change the face of the whole space government. So here, I'll give you guys a crash course on Gundam, and this will make a lot of stuff make sense to you guys. So what happened is basically... The Earth got too populated, so they sent people into space.
The space noids.
The space noids. So people were in space, people on Earth. Are you following me? Good. So what was bad was that the people on Earth still wanted to govern the people in space. And the people in space said, whoa, we're not even on Earth.
Yeah. We're in space.
So why are you going to tie us down like this, right?
We need our independence.
We want our independence. So that's why they started the faction of Zeon. So Zeon, which are the bad guys, you know, as known, are the people...
You make it seem a lot simpler.
Yeah, I know, but it's not how it is. Anyway, so the Zeon, the bad guys, are basically the people who are extremists, I guess, who want the independence of space noids.
Yes.
That's all they want.
Yes.
The Federation's like, nah, son, we gotta quell your rebellion.
Yeah.
And that starts the 1 year war.
Uh-huh.
And that's Amuro Ray. That's the first one.
That's the iconic man.
Yes, the iconic man. So after that, they get crushed.
Okay.
Zeon gets crushed. So Gundam Zeta comes along. In Gundam Zeta, they create the Federation. The good guys, quote unquote, create a military force to hunt down any Zeon remnants. The military force called the Titans, they have black Gundams, just FYI. They get so strong, they become the new bad guy. So, another Earth Federation fleet, Londo Bell, which now has Amuro Rave, the hero from the first one, Char, the bad guy from the first one, the main bad guy from the first one. Oh, I should probably explain. Char is like the person in the Zeon side who wears a mask. He always pilots a red mobile suit. He's the best pilot they have. And he has some roots in the Zeon family royalty. Mm-hmm. And he's a major player throughout all the series.
Yeah.
Anyway, Char and Amuro are working together to beat the Titans because they're an Earth Federation military group who's grown too strong.
An enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Yeah, that new thing that they make. They're the Og?
Yeah, they the Og. Or whatever.
Yeah, okay.
And then they beat them, and then Zeon comes back as Axis, and they beat them too. So they beat Zeon again. And then Double Z, they finally... Oh no, Double Z is when Zeon... You know, after they beat the Titans in Z, at the end of Z, I think, Zeon comes back, but they're going to be known as Axis. Then in Double Z, they fight actually Axis, which is just Zeon with another name.
Okay.
And then finally, in the movie, everybody goes back to their respective factions. Char goes back to Neo Zeon, which is now under his control. He runs the whole thing. Neo Zeon, so the new Zeon.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Amuro, again, still on the Federation side. And this time, Char's plan is to drop a colony. Drop a huge... Yeah. He wants to drop a huge asteroid on the Earth and force everyone to migrate to space.
So that he can control them all.
Yeah.
What a badass.
Yeah.
That's why he's the best.
And then so they battle, and then they both die at the end of it. Well, they're supposed to be KIA, or missing in action, but this movie tells you that they basically passed on.
Yeah.
So that's the whole, in a nutshell, all Zeon wants is independence from the Earth Federation. So this movie, same thing.
Mm.
They want independence from the Earth Federation, and apparently Laplace's box can give them this.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole thing is just, the Gundam Unicorn is the key to finding Laplace's box.
Mm-hmm.
And it is entrusted to a boy named Benazir Lynx, who goes into it, and just like every Gundam pilot before him, as said in the show...
Yeah, they even remark on it.
Yeah. He is unexperienced. He is totally not fit for the situation, but he's just the right person for the job.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, he goes into it, and it's just his journey to try and find Laplace's box, and finally maybe make peace between Zeon and Federation.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody can get along.
Mm-hmm.
So, the thing about this show is that, again, without a crash course or knowing previous Universal Century stuff, they make so many references to old characters from the old show, like original Gundam, and it's just, there's just so much. They name all the names, they talk about almost all the people, they talk about Char all the time, but they just don't give you any backstory.
Mm-hmm.
So you would never know unless you already knew.
Yes.
Yeah. So, for this show, relies heavily on its back story.
Mm-hmm.
So, unless you don't know, well, it's going to be a little rough for you to understand fully everything.
Yeah.
But as a Universal Century person, or a person who enjoys Universal Century and knows the story, you'll find this OVA very rewarding because you get to see so many characters from back in the day, now all grown up. And adults, and they're talking and whatnot, and it's just nice to see them again in modern day, and they're also just, they're just people you remember from the very, very beginning.
Yeah.
Straight from the first Gundam. So, overall, the mecha designs were cool too. The Unicorn Gundam's pretty sweet, so was the Banshee.
I love the Banshee.
The Banshee's so sick. The Neo Zeon, which didn't even really have a name, was pretty sick too. And as Vince remarked before, they go through a lot of supernatural stuff.
Yeah.
Which I find not even surprising.
Yeah.
Because it's a common theme between new types to have these visions and whatnot in all the Gundam series.
Yeah.
But this one took it to a whole new level because...
It did.
It's the highest point, I think, of a new type in this one where they get really, 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 I guess, they go really advanced on their powers.
Yeah.
So there's a metaphysical aspect of the battles in these.
Well, the final battle is all metaphysical.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy. There's a lot of callbacks. There's a lot of cameos. It's just very rewarding if you're a Universal Century person. Mm-hmm. But if you're not, I'd skip it. Mm. There's enough battles, but it's not worth 7.5 hours for around, in total, probably an hour of battling throughout all those. Mm. I did find it cool that the pilot in this one is actually a pacifist. Did you know he has the lowest kill count of any Gundam pilot? He's killed only 3 people.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know that.
Throughout all 7 episodes, he kills only 3 people.
Oh, that's true, because in the big situation, someone else has to kill it for him.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right.
And he always shoots not to kill.
Yeah, he just disables.
Yeah. So I thought that was really cool. We finally found a pacifist that is not Hiro Yui.
Oh, that guy.
That guy's awful. Just for what he does.
Kills everybody. He's like, who gave him that beam cannon?
Come on. Also, his girlfriend is a pacifist, and he still didn't care. Anyway, yeah, so this one is really good if you're a Universal Century fan. If you're not, then I'd skip.
Do you like Banaja Lynx?
I do.
Yeah?
He's just whatever. I mean, he's a Gundam pilot. He's going to be the same way all the Gundam pilots are.
Yeah.
Except that this one actually doesn't kill.
Mm. Yeah. I really like, my favorite characters from the series were,
oh god, Ensign Reedy?
Of course him. No, I really liked the captain, like the gruff captain with the Meridia.
Oh, yeah, he's pretty cool.
Like, their relationship, like, the sort of father-figure-daughter thing?
Yeah.
Like the cyber-new type?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like them. I don't know why.
Yeah. I obviously like Bright Noah, because he's the...
Of course you did.
He is the original captain of the ship that the first Gundam was on.
Yeah.
And they even talked to him. He's like, hey, so, according to your service record, you were on the captain of every ship that carried a Gundam. He's like, yeah, I mean, you know...
Pretty awesome.
That says something. Yeah. He was. I'm like, oh man, that's kind of crazy.
Yep.
Yeah. But I think I enjoyed the final episode the most, only because it has the most callbacks, and I'm pretty sure they even go back to the first 1 year war.
They do.
In a metaphysical way.
Yeah, they...
And Amuro is sort of in it, so it's pretty cool. Yeah. Did you catch that?
Yes. They're sort... Him and Char are sort of...
And Lala, the girlfriend, or whatever. Yeah, yeah.
They're there. In spirit.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You can only tell if you watch it subbed, because in dubbed, you can't distinguish his voice, but if you listen to it subbed, you can tell it's Amuro's voice.
Yeah, yeah. I had to look it up, because I was like...
Who is that?
Yeah, because for a second I was like, I know this, but I also don't know this. So then I looked it up, like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, so if anybody out there would want to start watching this, it's recommended. So I'd really recommend you watch the first TV show, or read up on it significantly. And then watch Zeta and Double Zeta.
Yeah.
I don't recommend the 3 Zeta movies because it has the same problem. Like, you need to have watched Zeta already first.
Yeah, the problem is they try to condense
all of it, and then it just gets super confusing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I really recommend this. I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Unicorn Gundam is pretty OP compared to every other Gundam.
Yeah. Full Frontal is pretty cool, though.
Oh, Full Frontal?
Yeah.
So, did you figure out who he actually is?
Yeah, he's just part of Char.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's so sick, though.
Yeah.
He's just the bat of Char.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's pretty sick. Mm-hmm. Love his hair, though.
Of course.
So much.
Yeah.
Yeah. And another thing I've been doing with my week is I can memorize 140 spaces in pi.
Oh my god, 140 spaces.
Yeah.
It's 137. That's impressive. Too many.
Yeah, so I'm going to try and keep going longer and longer and longer.
And this is just for a personal...
Yeah, this is just for personal stuff.
Okay. You're not trying to impress a girl?
No. Nope.
Trying to walk into a math class?
Yo, girl, let me show you my pie.
Oh, man. Also, I found a Lord, guys.
Found a what?
I found the Lord.
You found the Lord.
I'm religious now.
Oh, are you?
I am.
Born again.
I watched Sister Act. Oh. Movie's so good.
It's Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's so good.
Man.
Oh, man.
That's like...
I wish my choir or my church was like that.
That was 90s, right?
Yeah, man. So sick.
It was the early 90s, I think.
I missed the 90s.
Yeah, me too.
The Good Job Brain recently had a 90s-themed episode.
I know, it made me so nostalgic. I was like, I missed the 90s.
They had the boy band quiz, and I was like, oh, man.
I knew all of them.
I knew most of them.
Yeah.
So that's your week?
No, and then I've been testing for the Pro Tour.
Big day's coming.
Magic 2015 is all out and spoiled, so the testing has begun. So Magic 20 Feet theme looks to be the craziest core set they've released in a long time.
So when you say that it's all unspoiled, did you, for testing, what did you guys do? Like, print out the card? Like,
oh, we're printing out the cards. Okay. Like, we obviously don't have them, right?
Okay, that's all I wanted to know, yeah.
But we couldn't work with anything until we had all the information, right?
That makes sense.
So there were significant cards that were spoiled on the last day that you didn't know even existed, so.
It must be so weird playing with photocopy cards.
Yeah. One of my friends is colorblind. Oh. I can't let him play with the deck. Because you can't really see what it is.
Oh.
Or has bad eyes, anyway.
Oh.
And sometimes I even forget I have cards that can be used because it's like, oh, whoops, it's in my hand.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's very tiring, so it's going to be a lot of work.
Cool. Neato.
Yep.
You got, what, like 3 weeks?
3 weeks.
3 weeks?
July 31st, I leave.
Cool.
Yeah, man.
Anthony, are you playing Magic too?
I'm still playing Commander.
Okay.
The 100-card format.
Mm-hmm.
The deck's been getting better. Recently got this card called Avacyn.
She an angel?
Yeah.
I think I heard of that one.
She... Avacyn and all other permanents you control are indestructible.
Well, that card sounds cheap.
It's really good. And then I got another card called Vigor, where if a creature you control other than Vigor takes damage... Replace that damage with as many +1/+1 counters as they would take damage.
Wow.
Yeah, so if I take 6 damage, I instead gain 6 power and 6 toughness.
That's... Wow. That's cheap, too.
Yeah, EDH is all about how cheap you can be.
Wow, okay.
There's no strategy.
Sounds like it.
It's just drop good cards.
But, what else have you been doing this week?
I've been playing more games. Played one called Luthrausers.
This came out... Earlier this year?
Earlier this year, I believe.
Okay.
It's made by Vlambeer. They also did the mobile game Ridiculous Fishing.
Oh, that's why it's familiar. Okay.
Yeah. It's kind of like an arcade game, like an older arcade game. You play as a Russian airship, a Luftrausser, and you pretty much fly in this area that has its infinite size left and right. But and you got to destroy as many planes and get a high score.
Yeah.
So the thing with Luftrausers is, while you're flying and shooting, like stuff will come from air, from the sea, and you can customize your plane in different ways. So, like say one of the items is a melee item. So you take no impact damage, but you have less health. So like you can just like there's like a giant boat or a giant blimp in the air. Mm-hmm. Instead of shooting it, you can just fly through it, and then they'll take impact damage, but you won't.
Oh, okay.
And there's like different strategies like that. Where you can get like laser gun. You can get a turret, you can get a booster, so your engine, but it's a gun, so you're propelling yourself with bullets, so you're shooting behind you as well.
Right.
And there's different stuff like that. It's all very Russian-themed, like Soviet Union style.
Oh.
The one cool mechanic I like is that when you're very damaged, if you stall out in the air and don't press anything and start free-falling, you'll repair yourself as you're free-falling.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the last second, you can like boost out and like do all this cool stuff.
Interesting.
And they have a lot of like really nice effects where like when you're really close to the water, the power of your engine will shoot up waves and stuff. And
yeah.
It's a very simple game, but it's very addicting at the same time.
Okay.
I kind of wish it was on like a phone, like maybe like virtual joysticks or something.
Oh, because you're playing on the PC.
Yeah, it's on the PC. or I could imagine this is like, if this came out when arcades were big, like I can see this being a big game. Like it's a perfect joystick 2-button game. Yeah, that's really fun. That's been more of a time killer than anything.
Okay.
But I've also been playing The Wolf Among Us.
Oh, yeah.
Telltale's adventure game based on the comic book Fables.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that the story is actually canon, according to the creator of Fables.
It is, but yeah. I think it takes place...
It's a prequel?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's before the comics. This one, you play as Bigby Wolf. I think you've mentioned this on the podcast before.
Yep.
You might have played the first episode. But you play as Bigby Wolf, and you're solving a series of murders in Fabletown.
Yep.
And you discover this guy called the Crooked Man. And then stuff goes from there. And you meet... It's cool. It's kind of like the book. You meet a lot of different fables. Like it's pretty graphic or adult at times. Which is weird when you have these fables. Like these fabled characters, but the same problems that I guess you guys had with
The Walking Dead
still apply to this game. Like, there are still illusions of choice,
mm-hmm.
but if you could pick them out in Walking Dead Season 1, you'll be able to see them.
So,
here.
Before we recorded, you were actually telling me about this. You didn't have that problem with The Walking Dead.
Yeah, like, I really enjoyed it, like, on the first playthrough, because as I was going through it the first time,
yeah.
like, I just kind of took it for, this is my story, whatever. And then when I come here, and then we would talk about it, and to see how, like, these choices where it seems like it would branch out yeah. into something crazy different, and it didn't, it was mm-hmm. disappointing, but it's not too big of a deal for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it still sucks to see those like, invisible boundaries, but
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't as big of a deal.
Oh, and that's why you were able to pick it out earlier in The Wolf Among Us?
Yeah, so now that, because we had all that game time, or yeah. that game club, I'm able to pick it out earlier in the, like, oh, I can yeah. see, like, this is never, it would never go this far in one direction because yeah. I have to tell a coherent story.
Mm-hmm.
And having, like, too many branching paths or making those paths too wide.
So I want to know now, does that affect your enjoyment of the game?
A little more than it did with The Walking Dead, but, like, I'm not, like, hating the game for it.
Okay.
I'm thinking, it's kind of like, not like a choose-your-own-adventure book, but I'm taking it as, like, they want to tell me the story, but I can choose certain dialogue points or certain, like, action scenes mm-hmm. instead of choosing what the story actually is.
Yeah, no, yeah. I had the same sort of thoughts when I played it. Like, with The Wolf Among Us, like, from the outset, they try and make it apparent that this is a story,
mm.
like a set story, and you're just sort of choosing how you're going to get to this
to the end.
To the end, but it's defined.
Yeah, there is still defined.
Whereas in The Walking Dead, they kind of they tried to cheat you into thinking there's more there than mm-hmm. there was. And that was always my biggest problem.
Okay, yeah. That's the thing. Like, this one, they come out, they're like, this is a murder mystery about this. There is not this choice. Like, you have to, at the end yeah. of the day, you got to find who is behind all mm-hmm. the stuff going down in Fable Town. I really like the different interactions with characters. You meet Bluebeard, you meet Beauty and Beast.
You meet, like, everybody.
Yeah, you meet everybody. It's really cool. I really like it. I think certain chapter ending cliffhangers would have been a lot more impactful if I didn't already have the next episode available.
Oh.
Yeah, like, especially at the end of one, of chapter one, there was one very big cliffhanger. I'm like, oh, man, I can't wait to play the next one immediately after to see what happened.
I can't wait until they get this format down and they're able to release it weekly.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Like, the final episode, as of this recording, comes out tomorrow, Tuesday.
Yeah, and, like, episode one came out in, like, November.
Yeah, so it's been a while.
They have, like, this sporadic release date.
Yeah. Yeah. I've also been trying to... I tried to start up the season two of The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
But ever since I reformatted my computer, I didn't bring over my Walking Dead 1 save file.
Oh.
So I'm debating whether or not to just randomize all the choices or
interesting.
Not.
Interesting. Wait, on Steam they don't save to the cloud?
Yeah, for some... I guess The Walking Dead 1 wasn't saved to the cloud. But oh. I think The Wolf Among Us and season 2 both have cloud saves.
Okay.
Or either that, or I don't know how to access my Walking Dead 1 cloud save. I don't remember.
Okay. No, that's just weird. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, certain games have Steam cloud support, but other games don't. It's kind of a toss-up. But yeah, other than that, more League.
Wow.
Yeah, still at the League train.
Cool.
And I wrote something for the site.
Cool.
Yeah. You want to check it out?
What's it about?
It's about...
Pique our interest.
It's about my love affair with post-game content.
Yeah, I'm not reading it.
You don't have to. It's just, I talked about, like... I used Final Fantasy X as an example. Of,
oh,
like,
boy.
When you can do good... Like, what good is good post-game? What's bad post-game? And maybe why it's not...
Interesting.
Yeah, why it's not in Western games as much as it is in Japanese games.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Neat. Neato. That's it?
Yep.
Okay. For my week, I did a couple things, mostly show-based. So first of all, Legend of Korra Season 3 is out.
Yeah, it is.
First three episodes are out. I watched all three. They're Korra.
People are saying that, like, this is, like, their favorite. Like, even with these three episodes, like, it's their favorite season.
I think this is the potential to be my favorite. But one character could throw it all away.
Know who it is.
Yes.
Right.
If you know the type of characters I hate in every type of show, then you will know what character it is the moment you see him. But no, I really like the setup. it's a lot more interesting. Like, from the outset, they're making this, the bad guys known. Mm-hmm. The problems are there. And I like how they're going on an adventure. It's not like
they got an airship.
It's not like this political thing anymore where it's like, you are the Avatar, you have to be responsible for...
I liked those parts of the show.
Yeah, whatever.
Like when the at the beginning with all the roots. Mm-hmm. I really liked that portion of the show. Like, the Avatar also has some sort of public image to uphold in this new technologically advanced society. Yeah. Rather than Aang, where he's just like, I'm gonna do stuff. I'm gonna punch dudes in the face.
Oh no, don't get me wrong, I didn't like Aang at all.
Okay.
But I did like the premise that they were going on an adventure to build a team.
Okay.
Like, I like that idea. But Aang's an idiot.
He's got Apple.
As is this new character.
Hint, hint. Wink, wink.
But yeah, no, watch Korra. It's pretty cool. I can't wait to see more and how they're going to explain the new baddies and how come they're so powerful.
They haven't been in past.
No, they're just kind of, they're a little sort of.
They're just already, because like, I don't even remember them being hinted at.
No.
Right?
They're sort of just, oh hey, check it out.
We're just here. These badass mofos.
So you haven't seen episode 3 yet, right?
I have not seen episode 3
yet. So they don't reveal who the last one is.
Oh, still?
No, but they hint at it, and I could tell you after the show who I think it is, but.
Okay.
Yeah. But no, so Korra's cool. Watch it, check it out. We're doing good.
Oh, I know who it is.
Who? Go ahead, tell me.
Zuko's sister.
Maybe, maybe not.
Okay.
You're on the right track.
Okay, because the fire element is the only one they haven't done yet.
You're on the right track.
Yeah, okay.
The other thing I watched was The Flash. CW's The Flash.
Is it like The Arrow?
Well, that one's just called Arrow.
No, I call it The Arrow.
So, The Flash airs this October is when the show airs.
What, episode 1's out?
It's not out officially. Oh, okay. The pilot leaked because, you know, Comic-Con's coming up, and in order for companies like Funko and Diamond to be able to get the license and merchandise to it, mm-hmm. they want to see the product first. Okay. And what happens is when you're showing people your pilot, some idiot's going to leak it, and that's what happened.
Oh, check it out. Look at this thumb drive I have. Copy.
So on the episode that's out there right now, at the beginning in bold letters, it says, this is not for sale or for use.
Hilarious.
This is property of the CW.
Oh my god.
And at the bottom of the screen, it says, this is property of the CW through the whole episode.
Wow.
So, but it is the full episode, full special effects, as it's going to air this fall.
Cool.
I really like Arrow, okay? And
too much.
Maybe too much?
Maybe too
not
much.
Not enough. No. No. And the Arrow is probably like the TV version of Nolan's Batman series. Or at least that's the kind of general tone it's trying to mimic. Like, no superpowers, grounded in reality. He's only out at nighttime. And okay. Stuff. And he's rich.
What?
The Flash is a lot closer to what you would associate with a Spider-Man movie.
Middle class.
Which kind of makes, you know, more sense.
Lower middle class.
Yeah.
Has powers.
He's a bit more witty. He suffers from the Peter Parker syndrome.
Of?
Brilliant but lazy.
Oh, okay.
And,
I think I suffer from that.
Yeah, and you know, he's trying to balance being a superhero with his career and his love life. And it's a fun show.
So it's Spider-Man but fast.
Yes.
Okay.
And he gets the suit in the first episode.
Oh, wow. Oh, really fast.
Yeah.
In more ways than one.
Yes. He's very fast. I don't know how they're going to position this show. I really liked how Arrow has the flashback sequences. The Flash seems much like a much more straightforward superhero Monster of the Week show. And it looks like he's going to try and piece together clues of his mom's death. He works at Star Labs. Or he doesn't work at Star Labs, but he's at Star Labs. And he has... Blavin, who are the Flash's two scientist assistants?
Well, I don't know them. Wow, that's weird. Yeah, I don't know.
Like, one's a Hispanic dude and one's, like, a really stuck-up girl.
I don't know his supporting cast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, they're in here and they're annoying.
I thought the Flash was just by himself.
No. He's not by himself.
Does he still have the ring in his... Does he still have his suit in his ring?
Not yet.
Oh, that's funny.
But I wouldn't put it past this show because they've already demonstrated that this is a show all about superpowers.
Hilarious.
The first guy he fights is, I believe his name is Hurricane.
Star Hurricanes?
No, he's pretty much Storm.
A hurricane, what? I thought his name's a weather wizard.
No, they... Maybe it is, but they definitely call it out to be called a hurricane. Like, he's I first thought it was Twister, but no, he's Hurricane.
Weird.
And so, yeah. And he does, and Flash does that thing where he runs in the opposite direction of the hurricane,
of course,
to stop him.
Wow.
So
then he's going to be facing people like Captain Cold, the Mirror Dude.
Captain Cold has been revealed to be the main baddie for the season.
Oh, cool.
And wait,
the Mirror Dude. He can go into any reflective surface.
Yeah, so I don't know if... I think they've hinted at it, but
he has
he
has a whole rogues gallery, just like Batman does and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they have hinted at the Mirror Dude, but I don't know if they...
Keystone City, right?
Yes, it is. It is. Yeah. Okay. So...
Yeah.
Is this the same Flash who also read the library?
No, that's... Okay. No, that's the younger one.
Okay.
No, this is Barry.
All right. This is Barry.
This is Barry Allen.
Okay.
So at the moment, he's really fast, but he's not light speed fast.
Oh, yeah. Good times.
So, I mean, all he could do is break the sound barrier.
They don't talk about the speed
force. I could break the sound barrier.
They don't talk about the speed force or anything like that yet, right?
What's the speed
force? It's just where all the Flashes get their power. It's like
ethereal
energy. That they all can go to or whatever.
No. But they do...
And his original creation was because he got hit by lightning and just got a bunch of chemicals on him.
Right? Yes, he was in his lab.
Nice.
And the lightning just hit him.
Yeah, it's so bad, eh?
Yeah.
It's
so old school, eh?
It's so, like, 50s superhero.
Yeah, it's so old school. I love
it. It's kind of like how Electro got his powers in the new Spider-Man movie.
Yeah.
Like, oh no, I fell into a tank in the perfect situation, dear God.
And...
it's very Frankenstein-y.
Yeah, no, it seems very, very... like, a very fun show.
But not like Arrow?
I do not think it's going to top Arrow. There's no way. I think a lot of it stems from the fact that he's a younger hero, and it's more like he's trying to find his place in the world, and that kind of stuff, as opposed to Oliver, who's kind of like, I'm a man, and I've been through shit, and I need to save my city, blah, blah, blah. And if I get girls while I'm at it, cool.
Sounds like a teenager.
Yeah. The one thing I'm looking forward to is... they've already had their crossover between Arrow and the Flash, but I hope it's a lot more natural. Like, I hope they have just more regular crossovers and not leading to big events situations, because I can see, like, mid-season finale, they're going to have crossover events and whatnot, but I would like it if it's, like, they're more intertwined on a regular basis and not just for special reasoning. Hmm. But, I like the Flash. It's pretty cool. I'll definitely watch it. You all should watch it. This fall. Well, actually, you all should watch Arrow. I don't know what I'm saying.
Should I?
Yeah, you should. Love it.
Got like halfway through season one.
Yeah, that's probably the worst part about Arrow.
Okay.
It only gets awesome from after that point.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, I think that's my week. Nothing else to say?
No reviews to pimp?
Pardon?
No reviews to pimp?
I do. I got Chogokin Hello Kitty and stuff. It's not here in this room, but aww. I can tell you right now, that toy feels like it was made in the 80s.
Is that a good thing or a bad
thing?
This
whole show is just retro.
Yeah, it's a very good thing. It's so different. Like, I'm all about modern toys, but this thing is just it's basically a metal brick.
Cool.
Like, it doesn't do anything.
Just throw it at things.
Like, okay, here's the thing. It's a giant, not giant, it's like 4.5 inches tall. It's a cold metal robot Hello Kitty. With rocket paw missile launching things.
Huh.
She has a giant bow backpack that lets her fly. And she has a gimmick with her eyes to make her look evil. Oh, and she comes with a little Hello Kitty to pilot her.
Huh, that's cute.
But it's like all huge clicky ratchet joints, like heavy.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. I showed a couple of people that they're like, wow, this is really cool. It must be super expensive. I'm like, no. It's like $40. It's pretty affordable. It's not a toy I would normally buy. Let me put it that way.
But your affinity towards Sanrio.
I just saw the concept. I was just like, no, that's too cool.
Is it cool? Or is the word you're looking for stupid?
I think it's somewhere in between.
Okay.
Some sort of combination, but yeah. And then after that, I built a model kit. I built Goof.
Goof.
That was my favorite comment this whole week. That was so classic.
What?
The So what? There's a running joke in Gundam that this model that Vince is talking about, the goof, is not the same as the lesser model known as the Zaku.
Yes.
And one of the characters in the show makes a very, very strong point to point this out to the hero.
Yes.
And so Vince posts it up, and then Anthony replies that that's a cool Zaku, which it is not. And Vince proceeds to post a YouTube link, which was literally the 10 seconds of what I was talking about in the show, where the guy goes, "This is no Zaku, boy." And I just thought it was hilarious. I just laughed out loud.
Yeah, then he kicks him.
And then he kicks him in the chest.
And then Amuro was like,
this Zaku's so much stronger.
It's got more armor and more power.
It was sweet, sweet justice.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys planned it, but man, I just favorited that shit immediately.
Yeah, no.
That was good.
Yeah, no. So I built the Goof R35 from Build Fighters. It is, so the thing about Build Fighters kits is they take older kits and they modify and upgrade them, right?
Yeah.
So the thing with the Goof is that there's so much fan favoritism around this model or this mobile suit that they just decided, forget it. We're just going to build an entirely new model kit for this one.
Oh, okay.
And so it uses the basic engineering standards of 2014, and you can tell. It's hard to explain, but it doesn't have that, like, fiddliness to it with model kits.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, when you, like, move a leg or something, things will pop off. Like, and just moving it feels really fluid, and it feels, I don't know, it's hard to explain, but it just, you can tell there's a quality step from a kit that was made, like, even 3 years ago to now, which is really cool.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, the old kits that I had, if you would, like, the V-fin on a Gundam, if you touch it, it'd fall off.
Yeah.
I guess in this one, it doesn't suffer from this kind of problem.
No, and the Mono Eye, you can move it.
It's pretty cool.
And it's like, what?
I had to decide where I wanted to put that sticker.
Oh yeah, you like one option.
It's either gonna be straight on,
yeah,
he's gonna look like a dweeb.
Yeah.
Or I'm gonna put it on the side and then when I look at it from the other side, just look like he has no eyes.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, so. That is the week. That is the show.
Mm.
And that's everything.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's our tank.
Everybody go to sleep for a week. Come back when the new episodes.
Yeah,
the podcast
yeah.
Is ready.
Come back in 7 days' time when we will talk about more stuff that
yeah.
you probably care about,
like potato salad.
Yeah.
Potato salad.
Like we only talk about the most important earth-shattering news.
Yeah.
So.
And I mean, I'll tell you about how I met this girl on Monday.
Oh, nice!
And I took her for a drink on Tuesday.
Oh.
And how we were making love by Wednesday.
Oh man!
And on Thursday and Friday and Saturday, then we chilled on Sunday.
Ah, that's how you do it. Always
yeah.
take a rest day.
Yeah.
Always gotta take a rest day.
Yeah.
Do you even get it?
No, it's a song. I know.
Okay.
Okay.
I understand early 2000s, late 90s.
Do you?
Hip hop.
Do you?
References.
Do you really understand Craig
it's
David?
It's R&B, actually.
God. Same thing.
It's blues.
Okay. Thanks for listening, everyone.
See ya.
Bye.
See ya next week.